This is Alive with Joseph.
Give the Lord your praise this morning. Hallelujah. Let's look at the scriptures. We'll continue on what John opened up, wise in this age. And under it, we're looking at, you know, wisdom for distinction. Let's read the book of Proverbs chapter 4, verse 5 to 9. I read it, says, get wisdom, get understanding, do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her and she will preserve you. Love her and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom and in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her. She will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Amen. Walk up to three people, announce to them, say to them, get wisdom. Get wisdom. Get wisdom. Let's give Jesus praise. Please, you may be seated. The wisdom with which we allow to operate in our lives will determine the quality of our life. Wisdom is a builder of destiny. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 11, verse 1 says, wisdom has built a house. She has hewed out her seven pillars. So wisdom is a builder of destiny. And the Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, concerning the believer, the Bible says, you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And wisdom is the builder of this temple the Bible talks about. Now, how much you know is more important than how much you have. Never forget that. How much you know is more important than how much you have. And I'm not talking about intellectual wisdom, which is very good to have, but I'm talking about the wisdom of God. Divine wisdom is not just about deep vocabulary or motivational speaking. Divine wisdom is characterized by mighty works. Mighty wisdom should be seen in your works. We learned that in the first service. Wisdom should be seen in your works. Like Solomon, Joseph, and Daniel, wisdom was seen in their works. And believers who operate with the wisdom of God, who operates in this dimension, they are positioned to solve complex global problems, and also they excel far beyond human limitations. So understand, friends, that our Heavenly Father wants you and I as believers to solve complex global problems, and that is why the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you. The Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of excellence, lives on the inside of you. Listen to this, friends. You are born of God. You are born of the only wise God. Therefore, you carry the DNA of wisdom on the inside of you. Jesus, who has become to us wisdom, lives on the inside of you. And this wisdom is part of your redemptive package as a believer. But you and I must stir it up for it to become functional in our lives. It has to be stirred up for it to become functional in our lives. The Bible tells us that the Spirit of God searches deep things of God. So you connect to this wisdom by hearkening to God's voice behind the scriptures and praying always in tongues in the Holy Ghost. As you do that, the Holy Ghost is able to expound your mind and open your mind to begin to comprehend the thing that God has ordained. So praying in the Holy Spirit is your sure way of connecting to this wisdom. So we looked at last week the wisdom factors for distinction, and we dealt with the first one, which was creativity and innovation. So we move straight to the second one. The second wisdom factor for distinction is excellence. That is, anytime you find someone more successful than you are, Malcolm X says that. He said, anytime you find someone more successful than you are, especially when you are both engage in the same business, you know they are doing something you are not doing. Malcolm X, an activist who lived between 1925 to 1965 in the United States of America. So he said, anytime you're seeing someone who is more successful than you are, then it means that they are doing something that you are not doing. And wisdom is what distinguishes one person from another. Daniel chapter 6, verse 3 says, then this Daniel became distinguished above all other high officials and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. The Bible said that Daniel was distinguished above all other high officials because an excellent spirit was in Daniel. An excellent spirit was in Daniel. So if you want to be distinguished, then you and I must excel in whatever we do. Excel in your assignment. Excel in your conversation. Excel in what I've been entrusted into your hands to do. Some people don't know how to have a conversation. Some people don't know how to have a conversation. They are not excelling in how they converse with people. Listen, friends. Excellence requires investment of time. And to enjoy distinction in life, you must have a passion for excellence. You must have a passion for excellence. Constant discipline is what distinguishes excellent people from mediocre people. Constant discipline. Excellence requires discipline. Put your heart into whatever you're doing. Put your heart into whatever you're doing. Be excellent in what you're doing. Be willing to pay any price. Be willing to make sacrifices until you become best in your chosen field of life. Be addicted to excellence. Do you know, friends, to get to the palace is not necessarily by favor and prayer alone. To get to the palace is largely by excellence. Everyone, every man, every woman of excellence, they always have the keys to the palace. They always find their way to the palace. Every man, every woman of excellence, somehow they are the custodians of the key to the palace. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 29, do you see a man who excels in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before unknown men. When you excel in your work, somehow the palace cannot reject you. Our dear sister, who is the High Commissioner for South Africa in Kenya, she didn't just arrive there by favor and prayer alone. She excelled during the G20, you know, that took place last year, October. This lady was excelling. She practically ran that thing. As she was excelling, she didn't know that the king was busy looking at her. The president was observing. She was excelling. By the time the thing finished, when they needed someone to be the High Commissioner, to be the ambassador to Kenya, she was selected. She had no political connection. She's not a politician. She has nothing to do with politics, but excellence. Listen, if we are only prayed for her and be pouring oil on her head, and without her functioning in excellence, they would not have selected. The best you'll have gotten is thank you. Thank you for doing well. Excellence. The key to the palace is excellence. Some of you right now, you are just one excellent job away to the palace. And I pray for you. May you not miss it in the name of Jesus. May you deliver your job with excellence in the name of Jesus. May you deliver your job with excellence even when no one is watching in the name of Jesus. She didn't know that people were busy observing her. She didn't know. Nobody told her we're watching you. But she continued to deliver with excellence. And today, the rest is history. Hallelujah. Give the Lord your praise this morning. As they give Jesus your praise this morning. Hallelujah. So you and I must excel. He said when a person excels in what they do, Proverbs 22:29, that by their excellence, they will send for them in the palace. If the palace is where you desire to be, then you must excel in whatever you do. Listen, friends, our world will not reject excellence, no matter who it is coming from, no matter your color of skin, no matter your tribe, no matter your nationality, no matter where you're coming from, our world will never reject excellence. If you are a service provider, provide service with excellence. Provide service with excellence. And when you provide service, someone complains and say, I don't like the service you gave me. Your first response should not be, there is nothing wrong in the service I've given. Don't do that. Don't do that. Provide service with excellence. Someone tells you, the service you have given me, I don't like it. The first thing you need to do is not to fight. It's not to brand them a witch. It's not to attack them. It's not to send fire their way. The first thing you must do is to sit down and check, what didn't I do right? How can I improve on the service I provided? Pastor Andre, in one of his books, he's my mentor, in one of his books titled Becoming a Person of Excellence, he said, and I quote, excellence is not easy, comfortable, or convenient. Excellence challenges the mediocre, irritates the average, annoys the lazy and unmotivated. Excellence is the quality found in God, and excellence should be found in us as his representative. All around us, things are deteriorating, but we should be working to make the world a better place by being better and doing better. I pray for you. May you be better. May you do better in the name of Jesus. I continue on the quote from his book. He said, our way of life should reflect the God we claim to represent, and our work should draw others to him. Pastor Andre, the founder of Rivers Church, you know, Santin and Rivers Church Global. Amen. Hallelujah. So you and I must, our work should claim, it should reflect the God we claim we serve. When we look at your work, it should reflect God. We should not look at your work and be questioning you. What kind of a born again are you? Our work should reflect the Jesus that we serve. And I pray for you, you will not do things in a mediocre way anymore, in the name of Jesus. Now let's look at a few truths about excellence. Number one, excellence is in high demand. In our world today, excellence is in demand everywhere. We absolutely are demanding and expecting excellence. Nobody will have an attitude that says, that will just do. That is just enough. No, we all want excellence. From the doctor that treats you, you want excellence. From the chef that cooks your food in the restaurant, you want excellence. From the nanny that takes care of your child, you want excellence. From the school that your child goes to, you want excellence. From the government officials, we want excellence. From we want excellence from you as well. From everybody, excellence. Now understand, friends, that average is the best of the worst. Nobody wants to live an average life. No one gets into anything expecting to just have it in average. No one wants children or a child or their child to be average. So average is the best of the worst and the worst of the best. It is the muddled middle. Average is the muddled middle. Average is not black or white. Average is that ugly gray. Average. Reject average. Reject average. You know, Akri, we have tried. We are trying. No, you need to remove that from your tongue. We are trying. Akri, at least I've tried. No, you have not tried. Give your best. Give your best. Average is, I have tried. Your best is, it must come out excellently well. Give the Lord your praise this morning. Do you know, friends, that the opposite of excellence is not bad? The opposite of excellence is average. The opposite of love is not hate. It's apathy. It's not trying. And it is not trying. It is not caring. I have come to realize that average is what most people expect. But it is not what most people want. Average is what we get when we don't give our best. When we don't do our best, average is what we get. Average is what we get when we do our worst. It is the middle ground of mediocrity. Average is the middle ground of mediocrity. And average should not be found among us as believers. Why? Because the only wise God lives on the inside of us. Give the Lord your praise this morning. Thomas Fuller said, I quote, good is not good where better is expected. Good is not good where better is expected. When you take your car for service, you expect it to return back in top condition, not in an average condition. You expect it to return back in top condition, not in an average condition. When you go to the restaurant to have something to eat, you expect your food to be excellently cooked and not averagely cooked with no taste, tasteless. You don't expect that. You expect your food to be excellently cooked. Friends, listen, average is not of God. Average. Imagine if God has given us average. This world will not be where it is today. Imagine if God has created you as an average. He looked at you and just managed to put something together called you. Amen. Hallelujah. He put his best in you. How do I know? He breathed his breath of life into you. That is his best. He took his breath of life and breathed into your nostrils. He gave you his best. And he didn't just finish there. When it was time to redeem you, he gave you his best, Jesus. He took Jesus, his best, and gave it to you. Give this God your praise this morning. Hallelujah. So God didn't just give us average salvation. He gave us excellent salvation. And that is why the salvation he gave to us is perfect for time and for eternity. The salvation is perfect for time and for eternity. We don't have to return back again and say, God, the salvation you gave us is defective. We need another one. We don't have to call the salvation back again. The way some car company calls their car back all the time. We don't have to do that. He gave us perfect, perfect salvation. Hallelujah. Give the Lord your praise one more time. Our world is becoming more and more demanding of excellence, particularly in the times in which we live in. The problem is not so much that we don't want excellence. The problem is we are unwilling to pay the price for it. Child of God, excellence in our lives will come with a price. But the price is worth the satisfaction that comes with the quality called excellence. Excellence is not overrated. Excellence is not expensive, but it is costly. The satisfaction you derive from it is worth the price. Therefore, pay the price for excellence. We all know Woolworths. And for those who are outside of South Africa, you know, Woolworths is a retail store. It's a store in South Africa, you know, where they sell all kinds of things. They sell groceries, they sell clothing and all of those things. They are renowned for their consistent quality and high standards of all their products. I'm not advertising for them. You know, that's not what I'm doing. I do a disclaimer. I'm not advertising for them. I've been told that their buyers visit the manufacturers and watch why the goods are being produced and packed so that they can pick up any defects and make sure the quality is consistent. And that explains why they have consistent quality everywhere. Number two, excellence builds respect and reputation. Excellence will build respect for you and your reputation. There are some car brands that have reputation. They build respect and reputation by their excellent production. While there are some car brands that don't have respect and reputation because of the poor quality of their car production. Excellence will build reputation. Number three, excellence needs to become your way of life. Number four, excellence is not perfectionism. Excellence is doing what God has said you should do and not doing less or settling for partial obedience. Excellence is going all the way for God in what we are and what we are assigned to do. The scripture says in the book of Genesis that by faith Abel offered unto God, take note of that, a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. This means that Abel did not do what was good enough in his own eyes and simply give God what he saw was acceptable. Instead, he did what was excellent and gave the full measure God required. Excellence is giving the full measure of what is required. On the other hand, Cain did what he felt was good enough and offered vegetables when he had been told to offer an animal sacrifice. He did something, but it was not excellent, even though it was acceptable. How many times do we do things for our employers, even though it is not excellent, we do it because at least it's acceptable. You and I must stop providing or giving back to our employers, you know, acceptable service. Give excellent service. You too, as a business owner, stop giving your business acceptable service. Give to your business excellent service. Give to your business excellent service. Your employers should be able to look at you and they are grateful to God for you. For you being in their organization. Why? Not because you pray, not because you are Bible name, not because you carry big Bible, but for the fact that you are constantly delivering to their organization excellent service. Excellent service. Excellent service. Why is it that in our world today, particularly in Africa, we see the deterioration of things, of the nations of Africa, how things are falling apart in the continent because we have people who are in government who don't care about delivering excellent service. We have politicians in the continent who don't care about delivering excellent service to the people who have voted them into power. Hallelujah. At least in our nation, South Africa is better. Oh, you need to go to other African nations and see how crazy politicians are. How crazy politicians are. They destroy the school in their nation and they fly their children overseas to go to school. They destroy the health system. They fly themselves overseas to go receive medical. May that plane crash. Amen. I'm serious. Wicked people. They destroy their health system. They send themselves overseas. At least we give God praise in South Africa. We have in our nation, our people don't go overseas for health care because the health care is still intact. But in other African countries, how many times do you see other African presidents being flown overseas for health care? Being flown to London for health care. And they destroy the health care of their nation. God will visit them all. I'm telling you. Wicked people. That's why the continent is this with the way it is. Things are falling apart every day. Africa is shipping the highest number of migrants because the nations are in tatters. The nations are in a mess. Because people don't see a need why they must deliver excellent service. I pray for you. Let the spirit of excellence envelope you in the name of Jesus. Let's give the Lord our praise this morning. Hallelujah. Do you know that people who are passionate about excellence never get angry with correction? Anyone who gets angry with correction is not passionate about excellence. Do you know that excellence increases at the speed of correction? Anywhere excellence is appreciated, mediocrity. Anywhere excellence is not appreciated, mediocrity will be on display. If you want to enjoy distinction, then you must live with excellence. Anything you are given, you must give it with excellence. You must give it with excellence. Let's move to number three. Number three factor for distinction, wisdom for distinction is be at the place of your assignments. And that's the last one we close. If you want to be distinguished in life, be at the place of your assignment. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 5 to 7, there is an evil that I've seen under the sun, as it were an error proceeding from the ruler. Foolishness is put in high places, and the rich sit in low places. I've seen slaves on horses, princes walking on ground like slaves. Verse 10 now says, if the iron is blunt and one does not sharpen the edge, he must use more strength, but wisdom helps one to succeed. When a believer lacks direction, they will labor and have nothing to show for it. Verse 15 now says, the toil of a fool wears them out, for he does not know the way to the city. The person is laboring, but their labor is not bringing results because they lack direction. He doesn't know the way to the city. People work hard and with nothing to show for it because of lack of wisdom of direction. When you look at Elijah in the days of famine, one of the things that you would notice is what delivered him from the hostility of the famine was wisdom for direction. In First Kings chapter 17, from verse 3 to 4, the Bible said God asked him to go to Jordan, east of Jordan, and God gave him a brook there called Brook Cherit, and God also asked a raven to feed him. But after a while, the brook dried up, the raven stopped bringing food. In verse 9, he received the next instruction. God said to him, go to Zarephath. There is a woman there in Sidon who will give you food, who will feed you. So God, his place of assignment guaranteed his provision. His place of assignment guaranteed his provision. Elijah's place of assignment guaranteed his provision. Listen, if you're not in your place of assignment, you will have no guarantee for provision. You will have no guarantee for provision. You will have no guarantee for provision. What distinguishes you in life is your place of assignment. Your distinction in life is connected to a place. Your assignment to a place is what guarantees provision. You will be distinguished when you are where God has assigned you to. It is in the place of your assignment that there is guarantee for provision. Money is waiting for you at your place of assignment. Obedience to divine direction and instruction brings abundance. Everywhere there is obedience, there is provision. God's provision is only guaranteed at the place of your assignment. Elijah, go to the brook called Cherit. Not any other brook. God was specific. That tells me there were other brooks in that place. But God had to make sure. Go to the brook. The one called Cherit. If you go to the one next to Cherit, there is no provision. If you go to the one that is closer to your house, because it's closer to your house, there is no provision. Go to the brook called Alive Church. Your provision is there. Hallelujah. Elijah, go. Now, when the brook dried up, God said, go to the Zarephath widow. The woman who is a widow in Zarephath, she is by Sidon. Go there. If she had gone to any other widow, there would still not have been provision. God was specific. Hallelujah. Until you know where God is asking you to go to part-time, frustration will not stop. Many are frustrated because they are not where God wants them to be. They are where God didn't send them to. Wisdom from distinction is to be part-time where God wants you to be. Because you can be creative and innovative. If you are in the wrong place, you'll be wasting your time. Where the business is, ask the Holy Spirit, do you want my business here? Yes, you can have branches of your business everywhere, but let where your first footprint, let it be where God wants you to be. From there, you can branch out. You can branch out. God can tell you, put your footprint first in that village. From that village, you're touching everywhere. Why? Because that is where God wants you to be. From there, he can expand you. So many years ago, we could have gone to Johannesburg. We could have gone to Johannesburg. When the church, we're less than 40 people. No, not even up to 40. We're very low. We're not up to 20. And we knew that God didn't want us there. We knew that God, can you imagine, you know, the Polokwane is not even a metro city. It's just a city, you know, glorified city, you know. Not even a city, you know, in the city. And here, opportunity came for us to move to Johannesburg, a metro city, the most developed city in the continent of Africa. The most developed city in the continent of Africa. And here we are, we say, no, that's not where God is leading us. You really must hear God to say that's not where God is leading you to. And we stayed in Polokwane. With all the opportunities, we say, no, shut it down. We are not coming. And here we are today. From this place, this glorified city, we are touching worlds, we are touching nations, we are touching places, we are entering places. Oh, give Jesus praise, please. Entering places. Our podcast, you know, statistics came, they sent to us, the company hosting our podcast, they send the statistics. We have over 54 people who are listening to our podcast on a daily basis, for all the way from Singapore. We have people from California. I don't even know which direction California is. Thank God for Hollywood movies. That's how far I've been to California. But the podcast have entered homes there. We have people in Dubai. We have people in Abu Dhabi. We have people all over Europe. We have people in South Korea listening to the podcast. And yet we are here in this city, small as it is. Because when God tells you stay there, stay there. And from this same city, we are about now branching out to hold our first morning prayer tour, prayer conference, right there in Gauteng, in Galaga Convention Center. From this same place. If we had gone to Joburg, we would have evaporated. If we had gone to Joburg, we would have been a history. There would not have been anything known about us. Because when you are in the wrong place, even though you are anointed, anointing cannot remedy the wrong place. Hallelujah. Let's close with Genesis 26, verse 1 to 4. Now there was a famine in the land beside the former famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Gerar to Abimelech, king of the Philistines. And the Lord appeared to him and said, there was famine. Don't miss this. There was famine. So there was trouble. He had every right to migrate. There was trouble. He had every right to leave. But God comes to him and said to him, do not go down to Egypt. Dwell in the land which I tell you. Sojourn in this land, and I'll be with you, and I'll bless you for you, and I'll bless you for to you and your offspring. I will give all this land, and I will establish the oath I swore to your father, to Abraham your father, and I'll multiply your offspring as the stars of the heaven. I will give to your offspring all this land, and in your offspring all the nations of the earth will be blessed. He was about to leave. God said to him, "Don't do that. Stay here." He was about to move away from his place of assignment because of temporal lack. May you not move away because of temporal lack in the name of Jesus. I pray for you. May you not abandon your place of assignment because of temporal battle and challenges in the name of Jesus. God said to him, stop, stay here. Stop running. The challenges we live in a generation where people run. Little challenge, they run. Why do we have divorce all over the place? It's little challenge. People can no longer endure in marriage. I'm not saying that you endure, you know, physical abuse. No. If there's physical abuse, I'll come and remove you myself. Just invite me. I have men. We'll come and bring you out. The man can't do anything. Can't do nothing. But there's no physical abuse. Marriages go through battles. Who told you? Social media is where marriage is. Oh, BTC. Social media marriage, it doesn't exist. Real marriage is when you marry. There will be all kinds of battles. Ask couples who have stayed for long. Is it that they have not been challenged? There have been challenges, but they found a way to walk around it and stay. Learn to stay put. Learn. Small challenge at the workplace, you're looking for a new job. You keep running. You keep running. When are you going to stop running? Isaac was about to run. God said, stay here, calm down. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him from them all. Calm down. For all things work together for your good. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Calm down. I've not guaranteed you, you know, a turbulent free flight, but I've guaranteed you safe landing. Calm down. The turbulence cannot bring down the plane. The plane will still remain in the air. Calm down. After the turbulence, there will be peace. Calm down. Stay. And you are great. You'll be grateful to God that you stay. When I and Pastor Cordelia got married, the first 2 years was turbulence. But we told her, I said, we will stay. I told her, you go nowhere, I go nowhere. We stay. Where are you going to? We are just starting. You're running. No, stay. Are you, where, running to where? Stay. 23 years now, we're still staying. And we will continue to stay. Amen. Many have missed their place of assignment because they ran. Stop running. And God said to him, stay. So stay in your place of assignment. Stay in your place of assignment. Wisdom for distinction demands that you must be creative, number one. You must do things with excellence. Avoid mediocre work with whatever you're doing. And finally, stay in your place of assignment. Close with a wise word from our father of faith, the great sage of our time, Bishop David Oyedepo. He says, your mind must be tuned to the wavelength of the spirit. The spirit is sound, but the mind needs renewal. Possible by a constant touch with the word and prayer. Amen. Let's give Jesus praise. Let's rise on our feet. Father, we thank you. There's that scripture Sean read when we close with, the one in the Message translation. Look for it. When the scripture comes, I want us to look at that scripture. Luke 16, 8 to 9, Message translation. Now I want you to begin to say, Lord, I receive wisdom for distinction. I receive wisdom for distinction. Pray for yourself. We read this in the first service. In the light of what John was teaching, but something came strong here for me when he was teaching. He said, now here is a surprise. The master praised the crooked manager. And why? Because he knew how to look after himself. Is it that God is, you know, endorsing being crooked? No. But God wants us to learn wisdom here. Look at the wisdom. Say, streetwise people are smarter in this regard than law-abiding citizens. Is it that God is saying we should not be law-abiding citizens? No. But there's a wisdom here. They are on constant alert, looking for angles, surviving by their wits. I want you to be smart in the same way, but for what is right. He said, take the wisdom, put it into practice in what is right. Using every adversity to stimulate you to creative survival. You don't use advice. You don't see every adversity and you run. He said, use the adversity. So, creative survivor, to concentrate your attention on bare essentials so you will live, really live, and not complacently just get by on good behavior. Wisdom. The people of this world are not wiser than the believer. No. The believer is wiser, as we saw in the first service. But you and I must apply the same wisdom. Use it in what is right. The challenge is we refuse to apply wisdom to what is right. Like, you know, one of the wisdom is after praying in the morning service, that's enough. You don't get to the office by 8 a.m. You tune into another prayer platform. You're continuing praying. What you're asked to do, you're not doing it. You are late in delivering assignments. You are late in delivering projects. You are late. You are always late in everything. And you're saying, witches are after me. There's no witches after you. You're not applying wisdom. Your employer didn't pay you to pray. In case they didn't tell you. They didn't pay you to pray. They paid you to do the job and do it well. So that's why we schedule your prayers 5 a.m. when, so that you don't have to interfere with your employer's time. We could have put the prayers by 9 a.m. We put it by 5. So that you finish prayer, when it is time for your employer, you apply wisdom. Give your best. Give your best. Don't say, you know, I'm fasting. I can't do heavy work. Who sent you to fast? Your employer did not employ you to fast. Didn't employ you to fast. The world apply wisdom. But the believer doesn't. I want to pray for yourself. Last prayer. Say, in the name of Jesus. Say, in the name of Jesus. I receive wisdom for distinction. Right now, I declare I will do my work with excellence. I will be creative in discharging my duties. In the name of Jesus, pray for yourself right now.
Thank you so much for listening. We believe you are blessed by the word. For more, please visit our website, www.alivewithjoseph.com, as well as subscribe to our YouTube channel, Alive with Joseph Ngokocha. Till next time, God bless.